Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin Samech Vav. We are on Samech Hei Amid Beis. We are going to be starting with the words Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. It's about a third of the way down on the Amud, and we're discussing Eid Echad, Kiddushin Be Eid Echad, whether or not that is something or nothing. Okay, it's not everything, that's for sure. In other words, to be Mekadosh a woman, you have to do so in front of two witnesses. Right, that's something that is been tenet, it's a given since the beginning of this perek. But now we want to know, the Gemara is testing the limits and wants to know whether or not Kiddushin would work with one aid. That is a discussion that we're in the middle of. And in yesterday's Daf Samachem and Aleph, so we saw the Mishnah, Shavya Nafshe Chatecha Di Yisura. The truth of the matter is, even with no aidim whatsoever, so you can make a claim that said that you are a Mekadosh somebody, or a woman can make a claim that she was the recipient of Kiddushin to create Isser for themselves. But that's not that has nothing to do with Eidus. In other words, that's just simply a function of Shavin Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura. A person can create Isurim for themselves. We are now discussing what happens when Kiddushin is done in front of one witness. And Eid Echad, does that have any significance? It's definitely not the best way to be Mekadosh, but does that have any significance whatsoever? We're in the middle of the Gemara's discussion, and we pick it up where we left off yesterday. Samech Hamid Beis. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, it's nothing, it's zero. Everyone's in agreement to what happened. The man was Mekadosh a woman, they did so in front of one aid. He says it happened, she says it happens, and halachically it's a zero. That's Rav's opinion.
I understand about that one thing. When we talk about an aguna, one aid is okay, right? We say...
No. That's different. That's different.
Because she claims she's a
and one aid is nothing.
Doesn't make.
No, again. So I go back to what I said in the introduction. Meaning, when she claims that the kedushin happens vis-a-vis her, the kedushin happened. That's shavya nafshe chaticha d'isura.
We are discussing
right now whether or not aid echad can create a kiyum hadavar. In other words, did the marriage actually occur? Everyone is admitting and agreeing to what happened. The facts are on the ground. He was Mekadosh her. It was in front of one aid. Is the Kiddushin Chal? It's a simple question.
She's not an Eshesh, she can marry anybody else.
If she goes on and claims that the Kiddushin actually occurred, meaning and part of her claim is that it happened in front of two witnesses. So if she claimed that it happened in front of two witnesses, and then Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura. But in other words, but right now, with one witness, was there anything? So Amar Rava Bar Ravuna Mekadosh Be'Eid Echad Beit Din Rabba Amar Ein Choshen L'Kedushin. The Gemara continues on this topic. So Rabba Bar Ravuna says that it is nothing, Ein Choshen L'Kedushin. And he quotes it in the name of Beit Din Rabba. Who is that? So Gemara's next question. So Man Beit Din Rabba Rav. So the Gemara says the basin of Rav, which consistent to what we learned just moments earlier. The Ika Dharma, now in another version, Amar Rabba Baravun Amar Rav Makash Beidachad Beidin Rabba Amar Ein Choshen L'Kedushin. Now in a slightly different version, Rav is quoting Beidin Rabba. So who's he quoting? So you probably know the answer already. The Gemara gives it away. Man Beidin Rabba, Rebbe. So he's quoting Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Meisiv Rav Achbe Boyabar Amar Shnaim Shabam Medinas Yam. V'isha imahem, v'chavila imahem. So here we get now to an episode, an incident that's going to involve Eid Echad. A wild story where I have now two men and a woman and chavila. A chavila is a package, a bundle. It's basically some sort of commodity. It's metalton. It's movables. So ze omer. So we're going to have now three people, three claims. Ze omer. Zuishti, Zavdi, and Zuchu Chavilasi. So the claim of one of the men is everything's mine. She's mine. The Eved's mine. Right. She's mine, meaning my wife. He's mine, meaning my Eved. And the Chavila belongs to me. What do you think the other man is going to say? Same. Vizeh Omer Zuishti, Vizeh Avdi, Vizuch Chavilasi. Good. So far we have the two claims from the two men, and each one of them is claiming everything is mine. Okay, great. And the isha omer is elu shnei avadai v'chavila shali. Okay, and she's not to be outdone. So she also now makes the claim that these two men are my avadim, and that chavila belongs to me. Okay, so now, what goes on, what happens is the following. It's rich and shnei gitin. Now, and gova k'suvasam in the chavila. Okay, so now, how are we going to extricate ourselves from this situation? So the only solution is going to be Shnei Gittin. In other words, each one of them is going to have to give her a get. And as far as the ksuva is concerned, collection of the ksuva is going to be coming from the chavila, meaning that will be the source, the resource for the funds for her ksuva. Okay, now, hechidami. Obviously, over here, what is happening? Meaning we know what the claims are, and we know what the conclusion is, but there's obviously more to the story, a couple of dots that need to be, couple of I's that need to be dotted. We need more details. The Gemara gives it. Hechidami. If each one is not just making a claim, but is going to be bolstered by two witnesses, so then her counterclaim is obviously going to be ignored. Now, granted, by the way, that their claims are contradicting one another, but there's no way that, in other words, we're looking at the conclusion, and we can't work out the conclusion based on if they have witnesses. If they have witnesses, there's no way that she's going to be able to collect her ksuva. So what's happening over here, it must be that it's eid echad. In other words, each one of them is bolstered by one witness. So the Gemara says, really? So v'tizbara eid echad b'achash mehemen, mi mehemen. So the Gemara says, okay, great, eid echad. I'm so happy that each one of them has one witness. So it's eid echad b'achash. In other words, what's happening over here is that the eidim are now negating one another. Each aid is negating what the other one is saying. And so therefore, where are we right now? We should be at a standstill. So Ella Lemishama. The Kuleamala plug dishari. So the Gemara says as follows. So what we must be saying is the following. That really the truth of the matter is that for her to become muteris and to marry somebody else. So that would be fine without anything. In other words, basically what we're looking at is claim, claim, claim. Everyone's making claims. And now she wants to go ahead and she wants to marry. And even if each one of them is bolstered by Eid Echad, so it's nothing. In other words, there's no kedushin that occurred. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So v'hacha, hachi kamar tzrich shnei gittim, so kedei legavas ksuva samana chavila. The only thing that get will help is her ability to collect ksuva. Meaning, she doesn't need a get. She can go ahead and remarry without a get. But she wants to collect suva, meaning because her claim is going to be principled on the fact that that there are vadim and the chavila belongs to her. So she wants the chavila. The only way she's going to be able to get the chavila is if they give her a get. So the only point the Bryce is making is that if in fact they give her a get, because they claim that she's the wife. So if they give her a get, then and only then. And when I say then and only then, let's just emphasize, that means then and only then when both of them give him a get, then and only then would she be able to collect for the her ksuva. So, and Rebbe Meir, Dama Matalta Mishtab L'Ksuva. And also, we're just going to tack on one other point, and that is collecting ksuva from non-property. That's a little controversial. The Gemara says, you're right, that point's a little controversial. So for that, we have to subscribe to the Shita Rameh. Rameh says that ksuva can be collected from metaltalin. So over here, this brisa can only be understood with that particular detail. But anyway, the point of all this, meaning it was a funny exercise, but the point of all this is that eid echad by itself is insufficient. It is not going to substantiate the marriage. Each one of them is claiming they married her in front of one aid. It's nothing. So then what's the whole point of the brisa? Is that the only way that she can collect suva is only if she gets a get from both of them. Okay. So, my havi Allah. So, we're still on topic, right? This is still continuation from yesterday's daf. We're still in yesterday's daf. And the question here is really simple. And that is that your mekadesh a woman in front of one aid, is that something or nothing? So, right now we're leaning much heavier to nothing, but the Gemara has not yet finished the discussion. Amalei Ravashi. I'm sorry. My havi Allah. So Rav Kahana Amarai Choshen L'Kedushin, Rav Papa Amarai Choshen L'Kedushin. And the reason why the Gemara is not concluded is because the Amarayim clearly are deliberating this very point. So Rav Kahana says it's nothing, and Rav Papa says it's something. So Amarai Rav Ashla Rav Kahana Mai Daiteh, Di Alafta Dava Dava Mi Mamon. So Im Allah Halan Odas Baldin Kamea Eidim Dami, Afkan Odas Baldin Kamea Eidim Dami. And so now Rav Kahana turns to Rav Papa and says, I don't understand your position. Meaning, let's make this somewhat analogous to money. Okay, my money, right? You want to prove that somebody owes you money, so what do? You bring it to witnesses. Why? Because you always need two witnesses in order to substantiate something. So that's funny, by the way, because you know when we talk about money, You know what we also have by money? It's called Hodas Baldin. Hodas Baldin means that if I come over and I say, Phil, I owe you $100. Well, where are the witnesses? Where's the proof? Well, I don't need it. I'm being moda. I'm telling everybody that I owe you $100. So now, based on my Hodas Baldin, Ki Mea Edim Dami, it's like 100 witnesses. Okay, so that's what we know by money. So Rav Papa says to Rav Kahana, sorry. So Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, so let me get this straight. If you're ready now to look at Kiddushin like money, if you're ready to do that, so you know, based on admission with no witnesses, the Kiddushin should be Chal. Well, oh, that is a solid point. So Amar Le Hasam Lo Kai Chayav Achrine. Hacha Kai Chayav Achrine. So the Gemara says, well, I hear you, but I can make a distinction between money and Kiddushin. You see, when it comes to money, and I make a hoda, and I make an admission that I owe somebody $100, so over there, so who's being hurt by it? Me and only me. In fact, somebody else is going to gain. When it comes to Kiddushin, so in other words, I say I'm a Kaddish somebody, even though I am comparing it to Mammon. And even though Hodas Baldin Kameya Edom Dami, but there is still a difference to be made. And that when it comes to Kiddushin, it doesn't just affect you, it affects somebody else as well. That's why by Kiddushin, I need a little bit more, i.e., I need one witness. Okay. Right, really interesting back and forth over here.
Why only one witness? Why shouldn't it be two?
Of course, in other words, you need two. We want to know if one is something. That's the entire discussion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hacha kachay v'lachrine. Fine. So we are right now almost finished with the discussion. Very lengthy discussion in the Gemara, whether or not being Mekadosh Beit Echad is something. And clearly you see that there are still Amoraim who are of the position that's something. Right? The consensus view, the majority viewpoint is that it's nothing, it's zero. The Beis Din of Rav, the Beis Din of Rebbe, everyone's saying it's a zero, but almost everybody, not everybody. Okay, we're almost done with this topic. So Marzuch of Rav Ada Sava Bnei de Rav Mari Bar Isser Palig Nechsay Bade Adade. So what they wanted to do was that they wanted to split. Right, the two of them got a Yerusha, and after having received a Yerusha, so or whatever, some sort of partnership, and what they wanted to do is dissolve the partnership. And so what we're going to do now is that we're going to split assets. So Palig Nechsay Bade Adade. Also coming to Rav Ashi Amrle, Al Pishnei Edim, Amrachmana Di Baila Mahadre Lo Matzi Hadrebe, V'Anan Lo Hadre, Odilma Lo Mekayim Emilsa Lo Besahade. So over here now, a simple financial question of, this is mamonous. This is civil law. We're gonna dissolve our partnership. Do we need witnesses in order to substantiate everything, or can it be done without witnesses? Is witnesses necessary for kiyum hadavar? And his answer is very clear. Amar lehu, this is Rav Ashi's answer to these two. Lo ivru sahade el l'shakre. Witnesses were only created so that people will not lie. Oh. Okay, that's a big statement. In a moment, I'm going to significantly modify that statement. But lo ivru sahade el l'shakre. And that kind of takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion. And what just happened? Where did we just land? Right? How did we just land this plane? Right? It was a long flight. And how did we just land it? So basically what the Gemara is saying is as follows. When it comes to Mamonos, so by Mamonos, I don't need two witnesses. I don't need one witness. You know what the purpose of witnesses whenever it comes to Mamonos is? Just simply to substantiate the facts. If you and the other party are in agreement to what the facts are, everything is good. And was the partnership dissolved? 100%. Partnership was dissolved. Tosus over here, top Tosus over here on the Samud, discusses by Kinyanim in general. Do I need witnesses? Rabbeinu Tam is of the position. I don't need witnesses when it comes to Kinyanim. Kinyanim is just mamonos. It's just all it is just monetary law. And if everybody is agreeable to what happened and we're not arguing over the facts, so you don't need two witnesses substantiate. I don't need two. I don't need one. And in contrast, meaning, and what is the Gemara also saying at the end over here, in other words, where we seem to have landed this whole discussion, is that this is in contradistinction to Kiddushin. Kiddushin is not mamonos. Now, there is monetary ramifications. There is a ksuva, but that's not what we're doing over here. By Kiddushin, what we're doing is we're creating an isser. Oh. And in the creation of Israel, so there, you need Edim, not to substantiate whether people lied or didn't lie. You need Edis for Kiyum Hadavar. The whole purpose of Edis over there is to create the Isser, to create the Kedushin. So therefore, two witnesses and only two witnesses is the only thing that could do it. Can one witness do something? No. Because when it comes to Kedushin, meaning I'm sure we knew this going into the discussion, but as we are now here at the end of the discussion, trying to make this point as clear as possible. When it comes to Kedushin, Kedushin is not a monetary issue, and it's not a question of whether or not we're lying or we're not lying. That's not the issue. The issue is that to create Isser, to create Kedushin, so therefore you need a Kiyum HaDavar, and Kiyum HaDavar can only be done al pi shnayim, can only be done with two witnesses. Okay. We are going to continue now along this discussion of the significance of one witness, but we have now, from the purposes of Kedushin, we have now closed the deal, right? Pun intended. In terms of our discussion of whether or not one witness by Kedushin is something, although over the course of the discussion, we have identified some Amoraim who are of the position that it's something, but the consensus of the Gemara and the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's nothing. Amar Abaye. We're on Samachay Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. So Amar lo edechad chalta chelev ahalo shosek neman. Okay, somebody comes over to you and says, you ate chelev. Chelev, the forbidden fats of an animal. We don't see the chelev because they are cut out from the animal well before we eat it. And I say cut out from the animal. The truth of the matter is that from our in our day and age and our eating habits, like it's like we're never even getting close to chelev. Chelev are around the organs of the animal, and we are not eating organs of the animal. It's not our minig nowadays. Okay. So anyway, but back in the day, the chelev was readily available, and it was it's significantly usher. I say significantly usher because, like, in contrast to, like, let's say, for example, behemah tameah, like pork, for example, it's a law in the Torah. It's a negative prohibition. When it comes to chelev, chelev is an isser kares, much more significant isser. Okay. So the person eats chelev, although he didn't know that he ate chelev. So somebody comes over to him and says to him, achalta chelev, you ate chelev. So this is one witness is testifying that he ate chelev. V'haloshosek. Now you're looking at him and you're quiet. So over here, Neman, that witness is going to be believed. This is a Baye's position. Okay, obviously you see I'm putting emphasis on the fact that it's a Baye's position because there's going to be pushback. V'tanatuna, and I have a brisa that supports this as well. Amar lo edechad achalta chelev v'halo amar lo achalti potter. Taima de amar lo ha'ishik mehemen. So a deek in the brisa would be that somebody claims that you ate chelev and you say, no, I didn't. So therefore, no, I didn't is going to override the 1-8. But had you not said, no, I didn't, and had you been quiet, so Neman, the 1A would be believed. V'amar Abaye, but wait, we're not done yet. We're going to do two more rounds of this with Abaye. So Amar lo edecha nitmu tarosecha, your taharos becomes tameh. That's the claim of one witness. V'hala shoseg Neman, your response is silence. So now that's going to allow us to believe the 1A. Vitanatuna and Avabraisa that supports this as well. Edechad Amar Nitmu Val Amar Lo Nitmu Tahor Taima Amar Lo Ha Ishtik Mehemen. Okay, same deal from the Braisa. Next, round three. Amar Abai Amar Lo Edechad. We are now on the very top of Samach Vav Amin Al. Shur Chanirva. So your shur was sodomized. Your shur was involved in an act of bestiality. And as a result of that, it now is pasul lekarbon. You cannot bring it as a carbon. And the haloshosek, and the response was silence. So neman. So now the aid is going to be believed. Vitanatuna, and we have a brisa supporting this as well. Shenevda bo avera v'shehemis api edachad o api habalim neman. Hay api edachad hechidami. So over here, it's coming from a Mishnah Bechoros. The Mishnah Bechoros says that one witness says that your animal was involved in bestiality, and that one witness is going to be believed. So hay api edechad hechidami idikamo de balim haynu api abalim. Well, if the owners are admitting to it, so that's api abalim. Elalad deshasik. It must be that when you made the claim to the owner, so he was quiet, and his silence together with the aegis of that 1-8 allows us now to believe the 1-8, and therefore he's going to be neman. So I'm sure you noticed, by the way, a theme alert, and that is that according to Abaye, if it's 1-8 and the counter response is silence, there is no counter response, so where that 1-8 is going to be believed. Abai told us that not once, not twice, but three different times in three areas of halacha. You know the next step of the Gemara. It's always the next step of the Gemara. Why did you have to give me three different examples? Tzricha. You see, in the first case, so what if he was wrong? What if he didn't eat chalef? The carbon chatas that you're about to bring to the Beis HaMikdash is not a carbon chatas. It's chulim ba'azara. Chulim ba'azara is a significant risk. It's a significant iser. So in other words, over there, when you're silent and you didn't respond to the accusation that you ate chalef by the one witness, so over there, you know he's right, because if he's wrong, you're going to bring in chulim ba'azara. So in other words, there I would make the argument that one is going to be believed. Aval nit mutar asecha meimar amrina and haydasha seksavar chazili b'meitumasa. So but as opposed to the accusation that your taharas are really tame. Okay, no, is that the end of the world? So when I'm in a state of tamal, so I'll enjoy my taharas. And finally, if I had case number two, but I didn't have case number three, you see, in case number two, there's actual financial loss. So, meaning I won't be able to eat my tuma while I myself am in a state of tahara. But over here, when the animal was involved in the bestiality, so and one aide is reporting it, so there, a shrug of the shoulders. Okay, new, so I won't bring it as a carbon. Okay, so what? In other words, I can shech the animal. I can eat the animal. I can enjoy the animal. Okay, so over here, so Abaye says three times over that eid echad with a counter response of shtika, so the eid is going to be believed. Okay, now I'm being very careful about how I say this. So in other words, you'll notice what I didn't say throughout the entire discussion is, well, because the person's quiet, so shtika kehoda'a. Okay. That's not how to learn the Gemara over here. In other words, the Gemara over here is not to be understood as a function of shtika kehoda'a. Why? Very simple. Because the shtika kehoda'a is not going to be able to create a status change. In other words, shtika kehoda'a is an admission of guilt. That's true. The when someone accuses you of something and you are... And you are quiet, so like a monetary claim against you, and you're quiet. So yes, your silence is going to arrive at guilt, meaning you're going to have to pay back. But to create an actual status change, meaning the idea that you're going to bring a carbon chatas, the idea that your taharos are now going to become tame, the idea now that your animal has a status of psul le carbon, those are all status changes. So that's a function of the edus. But over here, according to Abaye, it's only one aid, not two aidim. So that one aid has to be bolstered. How do you bolster that one aid? The silence is bolstering the aidus. Okay, that's probably the correct way to learn the Gemara. The in terms of how to understand what's going on. So be'ed echad v'shosek mahu. Okay, so let's move this now to an uncomfortable situation, and that is that someone comes along and says that your wife committed adultery. It's one aid. It's one witness. So what do we say under those circumstances? Now, what's your counter response? Your counter response is shtika. In other words, you don't say anything. Okay. So over here, is your silence now going to bolster the edus? So now you're going to be obligated to have to divorce your wife. So in other words, if in fact she committed znus. Now, mind you, by the way, I know we all know this, but just let's spell it out. Let's clear the air. If the two Adam warned her beforehand, if there were two witnesses and they warned her beforehand and they violated their warning, so now we're looking at a capital case. In other words, now we'll go to Beis Din and she will be tried on a capital crime. Okay. But we also know, however, that if the two witnesses don't warn her, so then she's not going to be sitting trial and it won't be a capital case. However, the two witnesses will in fact be able to substantiate that she was Mizana. Those two witnesses now will make her a sota, not to be confused. We're not talking about a sota we bring to the Beis HaMikdash and drink the water. In other words, the two witnesses saw the znus. She is now a sota zvadai, and therefore she's usher to her husband. That doesn't by itself dissolve the marriage. He still has to divorce her, but still now she now is a sota vaday. Okay? Hopefully I'm saying this as clear as possible. Good. We are now moving the discussion to, what if it's one aid? What if it's one aid who saw this nos? Now what? And we're going to learn it now within the sheet of Abaye, because Abaye says that one aid coupled with shtika is going to bolster the aidus. So are we ready to do that in the world of znus? That's the Gemara's question. So Amar Abaye Neman, Rav Amar Inu Neman, Havidavishaber, Vavindavishaber, Bapachus Mishnayim. So Abaye will say Neman. Now this is Abaye being consistent with his three previous positions that he took. And Rava will tell you, no, ain't no Neman. Ain't no Neman, according to Rava. Why? Why Rava ain't no Neman? Because this is a Deva Sheba'erva. A Deva Sheba'erva, we're talking about now establishing her to be a Mizana, for her to be now a woman who committed Niyuf. So for that, you need two witnesses. One witness is bolstered by silence is simply going to be insufficient. So And over here, again, what I said earlier, by the way, that the shtika is not to be understood in light of shtika koda. So look at Tosos over here. Tosos Rava. Im tamer kevin to shosef shtika koda, dami alam elo teaser, alav echilo yuchal asos, alav chaticha di sura. Right? Tosos over here says, look, in other words, somebody reported to the man that your wife committed adultery. It's 1-8. And he was quiet. So why don't we say shtika koda? So Tosus responds, "V'yeshlamet the kasav Rava, the time of the shosek mehemen, love mishum d'shtika ko da damya." Right? Tosus says a beferish. That, in other words, according to Rava, it's not the shtika ko da. That's not how Rava's understanding this discussion. So ela mishum d'ika raglam ladavra mehemnele v'kevin sheina isra mikoch edus abal ela mikoch edus ha'ed lo mehemnele deida chanenu neman v'davish be'erva. Perfect. Tosus says over here, this is not a litigation of whether or not a man will be able to admit to something. Shtika, or silence is admission. Shtika koda. Over here, it's the establishment that she is a mizana, which can only be done, according to Rava, from two witnesses. It's one witness bolstered by the silence of the husband. According to Rava, that's not going to enhance the edus. Edus is either two or it's nothing. In terms of establishing znus, Amar Abaye Mana Aminala. Okay, so we have now a fundamental machlokes between Abaye and Rava in terms of an accusation by a single witness that the woman committed znus. Two are accusing her of committing znus, not accusing her. Two witnessing and reporting that they saw her being mizana. There is no discussion to be had. She is mizana and she is also to her husband. What about one witness, and the husband was quiet when he was reported this information? Abaye says we believe the aid, and Rava says we do not believe the aid. And the Gemara continues in this discussion. Amar Abaye Manami Nalada Usami Dahave Masader Masisa Kamed Demar Shmuel. The Gemara tells a story, and it's a bit of a tragic story. There was a blind person who was learning in front of Shmuel. So Shmuel had a chavrusa with someone who couldn't see, and they had a daily chavrusa. So Yumachad Nagale Velo Havakase. So one day the blind person just simply came late to Seder, came late to the Chavrusa. And Shmuel wants to know what's going on over here. Where's my Chavrusa? So Shadu Shlicha Basrei. So Shmuel sent a Shlich to the home of the blind person to basically find out what's going on. Adazu Shlich Bahadorcha Sa'iu Bahadam. So over here now. So the shlich is headed to the home of the blind person. The blind person happened at the same time to be walking along a different pathway to get to Shmuel. Okay, you probably see where the story is going. V'chiyasa shlich amar ishto zinsa. Shlich got to the house and the wife was felt comfortable that her husband now has left to Chavrusa. And the wife, Rachmanis, is now being mizana with another man. The shlich saw it. And now the shliach has to go back to Shmuel and report the really unfortunate news that he just saw. And more importantly, in other words, reporting it to Shmuel, but reporting it to the husband. Also, coming to Shmuel, Amar lei ima hamelach zil afke v'ilo lo topic. Now Shmuel says to the blind person, so here's the decision you're going to have to make. Terrible decision, but here's the decision you're going to have to make. And that is that if you believe my shliach, if he is credible to you, so then you're going to divorce her. And if he is not credible to you, then you don't divorce her. So this is going to be your call. Shmuel says to the blind man. So my love, imahem alach the love gazlanahu. Now, over here, the question now becomes the following. It's an important question. What does Shmuel mean? Meaning, again, what does Shmuel say to the blind person? If you believe the shliach, if you believe my shliach, so then you'll divorce her, and if not, then you won't divorce her. What does that mean, if you believe my shliach? Believe what about my shliach? So Abaye says, my love, imahem alach the love gazlanahu. So according to Abaye says, here's what Shmuel meant. In other words, if you think my shliach is a good aide, he's not a thief, he's not involved in gambling, and all the other things that would make an aide puzzle, if you believe my shliach is a good aide, so now you're going to divorce your wife. In other words, because now we've established through one aide that she was mezana, and one aide can create iser. That is Abaye's understanding of what Shmuel meant. And Rava will tell you, no, that's not what Shmuel meant. Rava, ima hemalach ke beitrei, zil afka v'ilo lo tafka. In other words, basically, what Shmuel says to the blind man is that, look, this is going to be your call and simply your call. Meaning one aid by itself cannot create a status change. But in other words, he definitely gave you something to worry about. He gave you cause for suspicion. If you think that now... It sounds right, Rachmanis, that your wife was being mezana. If you've been thinking this for some time, and now you basically all your fears and suspicions now have been realized, so then you divorce her. And if you think that, no, in other words, I really trust my wife, so then you don't divorce her. But the one witness by itself is not significant. That's Reva's understanding of the story. Okay. So Abaye says, I'm going to bring another proof. Again, according to Abaye, you have one witness, and bolstered by the fact that the person being informed is quiet. So according to Abaye, that's significant. So Abaye says, I'm going to bring you one more proof. Okay, so here we have another story in Shas regarding Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech comes up numerous times throughout Shas. Seventh Perek of Brachos. I don't know why. Of all there are a number of Gemaras out there. Seventh Perek of Brachos is one of the more interesting ones. Do you remember over there in the seventh Perek of Brachos? Yanai HaMelech killed all the Talmidei Chachamim. And the problem was that after eating a meal, he needed a bench. He himself didn't know how to bench. And he needed a Chacham to bench for him. Strange. And if you remember the story even further over there, so they got a Talmid Chacham to bench for him. Who did they get? None other than Shimon ben Shetach, who happened to have been his brother-in-law. Okay. Lot going on in that family. So over here now, we're back to Yanai HaMelech. So another story regarding Yanai HaMelech. And he just came back from conquering. He conquered 60 cities. And uve chazara so hayasamech simcha gedola. He was so excited when he came back. V'karla kol chachmi, so amar lehem avoseinu, hayu ochlim meluchim, so bizman shayu sukim b'vinyan beis hamikdash. I didn't historically set ourselves up. Where are we right now? Somewhere in the middle of Bayit Sheni. Probably a little bit more towards the end. Okay. I'd like to move the needle back more to the middle of Bayit Sheni. In other words, because Yanai Melech was brother-in-law with Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach was one of the Zugos. Okay, so anyway, we're somewhere in the middle. Yanai Melech was from the family of the Chashmonaim. Okay, and now I can move the needle a little bit more to the end of Bayit Sheni, right? Because this is after the Hanukkah story. So he was from Beis Chashmonai. And so we are now towards the end of Bayit Sheni. And we are post-Hanukkah. Okay, that's where we are historically. And now, after a big conquest, he comes back and he's so happy. And he says, let's go over a little bit of our nation's history. When we came back to build Bayit Sheni, right, some couple hundred years ago. So, right, I'm going back from when Yanai lived. So when we went and built the Bayit Sheni, so what happened? We were so poor at the time. What were we eating? Can you believe it? We ate vegetables. Who eats vegetables? So bizman shayosu kim binyan beis hamikdash. Avanu nocham aluchim zecher lavaseinu. So what he wanted to do was institute. We're going to eat vegetables as well, zecher to our forefathers. Vehelam aluchim shal al shulchano shel zal va'achlo. So they brought the vegetables on golden tables. Okay, right. I feel like I sense like the Gemara is like showing off like the irony of, you know, let's remember how poor they were, right? Serve the vegetables on the golden tables. So the v'hayusham echad ish leitz levra ubiliam. Now there was a person, and the Gemara has got words to describe this person. He was a joker. He was a bad person. He was corrupt. And Elazar ben Poira Shemo. Okay, and we named him. Vayomer Elazar ben Poira Lianai Melech, Anai Melech Libam Shel Purushim Alecha. And now he's stirring the pot. And so this Elazar tells Yanai Melech, you know the Purushim. The Purushim, who are they? So they're us. They're traditionalists. They're the ones who are holding by Torah Shebaal Peh. They're the Baal HaMesorah. They're the ones passing along the Torah Shebaal Peh from generation to generation. Shimon ben Shetach was a parush. So so this Elazar turns to Yanai Melech and says, you know, those Purushim, they hate you. So hakem lahem tzitz shemein einecha. So what should I do? So this Elazar says to Yanai Melech, take the tzitz, the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, and next time we get together, you're right, then you're at the next rabbinic conference, so you're going to be wearing the tzitz right on your head. Fantastic idea. Hakim lahem tzitz shemein einecha ayu. Sham zaken echav Yehuda ben Gididya Shmo v'yomer Yehuda ben Gidya Yanai Melech Rav Lach Keser Malchus Hanach Keser Kahuna Lazar Shel Aaron. And so this parish says to Yanai Melech, that's too much. You're already the king. Leave the Kahuna to the Kohanim, and leave the king for the king. Right, you king, and let the Kohanim Kohen. So. Shahayu Omrim Imo Nishbeis Memodim. So now, Yanai Melech was from the Chashmonaim. He was a Kohen, right? Meaning, basically, what he was able to do was get the Chachamim to express their true feelings about him. And what are their true feelings about him? Not a real Kohen. In other words, yes. In other words, there is Kahuna lineage in him, but at the same time, however, he's Pasul. So the word is, the reporting is that his mother was taken captive in Modim. So now a report was done, investigation was done, and unfound. And so what the Chachamim did is that they separated themselves from Yanai Melech. So Ve'ata Melech Ve'Kohen Gadol Kachu Dincha. So in other words, imagine somebody who is not the king and not the Kohen Gadol, who is just being embarrassed. You're the king and you're the Kohen Gadol, and you've just been embarrassed. Uma e'eseh, so what should I do? So this is now the response of Elazar. Ima tashem elatzasi, Ram same. So what you do is you kill them. V'tor matehela. So now Yanai Melech says, okay, but if I kill all the Chachamim, what about that? What about the Torah? So hare krucha umunachas bekeren zavitz v'chol arutz olomod yavo v'yomod. So this Elazar says to Yanai Melech, don't worry about the Torah. In other words, it's in the Aron. Anyone who wants to read the Torah will open up the Aron, take out the Torah, and read the Aron, and read the Torah. Amar Abnach Ma'yizrak Mi'an Nizrak Abo Apikarsus. At that point in time, Yanai Melech became an Apikarsus. This is Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, who lived generations later, but he's adding an editorial note to the story. And that is that Yanai Melech is an apikaris. And by the way, over here, just good definition of apikaris, someone rejecting Torah Shebaal Peh. When you are rejecting Torah Shebaal Peh, so that now brands you, labels you an apikaris. And that's Yanai Melech. So the Havale Lameimar, because what he should have said to Elazar was Tenech Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Mai. So because the simple response is, I know we could read the Chumash. We can all read the Chumash. But how do we know how to interpret the Chumash? It's called Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what Yanai Melech should have said to Elazar. He didn't. In other words, apikorsus. So miyad v'totze tzara'a al yidei Elazar ben po'irav yargu kol chachmei Yisrael. And the death of all the Chachamim. Right? The story that I alluded to in the seventh parak of Brachos, by the way, obviously was after this episode. Right? This episode is a chapter before that which we learned in the seventh parak of Brachos. The world was desolate. In other words, so many of the Baal HaMasor were killed by Yanai HaMelech, and Shimon ben Shetach came and reinstated it. And by the way, yeah, right, I already added the detail, just reminding, Shimon ben Shetach was the brother-in-law to Yanai HaMelech, making all this much more complicated. Okay. All right. That's some story with so many details and so much to process. But here in the daf, however, what we're going to do is that we're going to just focus on the one point the Gemara wants to focus on. And that is, over here, an accusation investigation. His mother was taken captive in Modi'in. And so therefore, she is she's pasul l'kahuna, and therefore Yanai is a product of such a union. What is a product of a father who's a Kohen, but the mother who is not fit for kahuna. So, the Gemara wants to focus now on that one particular point.
Isn't that a halal?
Not a halal, it's a zona.
Oh, it's a
zona. Right. So, hechidami. Ilem de beitrei amri ishtabai, u beitrei amri lo ishtabai, machas de samet ahanis machani. So, Abai says, here's what did not happen through the investigation. Two said that she was taken captive, two says she was not taken captive. That's not what happened. Because that's trei keneged trei. And so trei keneged trei, what do? Throw everybody out. And we go back to the original chazaka, which is that she's good. She's a kshera.
You go by the latest witnesses?
We throw everyone out. Trei keneged trei. So Ella be'ed echad. So over here, what happened? I'll tell you what happened, says Abaye. Here's what must have happened. One witness reported that she was taken captive to Modi'in. So and the taima the kamachshele be'trei. And what happened was is that one witness was rejected by others. Halav hachi mehemen. Had the one witness not been rejected by others, so then mehemen, that one witness would have been believed. Now, I admit, that's a really long walk to get to a point that the Braisa didn't make, and all we're doing is just simply speculating, I think this is what happened. But that's what we do in Gemara, meaning that we go through the whole story. We know that something happened. We know that there was some reporting, and we're left to figure out what reporting was there, and what was the counter reporting. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Isn't that what happened?" And Rav is going to tell you, "No, that's not what happened." La'olam kedam ravacha barav minyome beide azama hachanami beide azama. So as far as the episode with Yanai HaMelech is concerned. So what happened? It was two against two. So two against two. So what do I normally do with two against two? So they cancel each other out, right? It's noise cancellation, to use modern terminology. So in other words, we simply don't know. Normally, you're right. That's what happens. But however, the reason why it is that the second two negated the first two, because the second two did not come disputing the information. But the second two came is that they disputed the witnesses. So, in other words, they said, Imanu Hayisa Mamakum Ploni, they were with us at the time. In other words, their accusation for the first set of witnesses that the first set of witnesses were Adam Zomimim. And that's why we're not going to be believing the first set of witnesses over the second set of witnesses. Iba Isaim of the Gemara says, I'll also suggest, is Kid Rab Yitzchak, Dam Rab Yitzchak, Shifcha Hechnisu Tachteha. Okay, talk about fascinating. And that is that another suggestion is that, no, maybe the witnesses came and reported that the mom was taken captive. But you know what? You know how we can go ahead and cancel the testimony? Body double. Okay. What? Wild and exciting. Body double. And in other words, what happened was the following. In other words, they knew that the mother was taken captive, and immediately what they did is they swapped her out with somebody that looked like mom. I know. Right? It sounds like something we'd be reading and during our recreational time. So the shivcha hechnisu tachtaha, and so interesting, meaning that the witnesses said we saw her taken captive. Oh, you're right. In other words, you saw somebody looking like her. But now let's fill you in with some details, and that is that the moment that she was taken, we immediately swapped her out with a lookalike, and so therefore, on one hand, we can we can accept that which the witnesses tell us. At the same time, the mother will still have a cheskes kashrus. Okay, which, by the way, again, you just talk about where we can go with the Gemara. We're not going there, but in other words, just if I can feed you some ideas, right? That on one hand, we don't have to dismiss what witnesses say. At the same time, we can also say that the witnesses did not have the full story. We're not, you know, did not know all the facts around surrounding the episode. Okay, Amar Rava. Okay, so Samach Vav Amud Aleph has so far been one topic, and that is that according to Abaye, if I have one aide, and that one aide reports, and the person who is reporting about is silent and acquiescent, so therefore we believe the one aide, not because of Shika Koda, all right? I made this point numerous times today, but because, in other words, what he's doing is he's bolstering that one aide, now giving that aide the necessary credibility. That is the opinion of Abaye. It's true by bringing carbon chatas. It's true by making truma, making tahor tame. It's true by establishing the animal to be a puzzle carbon. And that was 1, 2, and 3. And according to Abaye, it's also going to be true in terms of establishing that the wife was mezana. Okay, that's all shitas Abaye. Rava, on the other hand, says no. Even with shtika, we do not believe one aid. To establish that a woman was mezana, you need to aid them, period, end of discussion. Okay. So it's a really fundamental debate between Abaye and Rava. We're continuing. I'm a Rava. We are on the very top now of Samach Vav Amud Beis. Minami nala didnan. How do I know that I am correct? So over here, a Braisa. I'm Rabbi Shimon Maisa bit Migura. Shall this can be Avnam? So there was a pool. Not the modern pool that you and I have. Okay, we live in Florida, by the way, for those listening, and so having a pool is not a terribly big deal. So anyway, so it's not the modern pool. Yeah, I'm saying in Florida. So so Amar Rabbi Shimon Maisa ben Megura Shal Diskin Biyavna Shaiso Mede Becheska Shlema. Now this pool of water, right? Okay, it was a mikvah. Let's call it a mikvah. So at one point in time, it had 40 saw. We know for sure it had 40 saw. It had 40 saw. But of course, there's something called evaporation. And if there's not a constant stream of extra rainwater, so the water level is going to get depleted. And it's going to be less than 40 saw. We know how these things work. So what happens is the following. So madadu nimsa chasera. So what happened was is that we have a timeline. At one point full. And over 40 saw. That was T1. Then moved to T2 sometime later. And depleted. Less than 40 saw. So now, what happens to everything we tovel between T1 and T2? This is, in halacha, a classic question. So, Kol HaTaru Shenasu Agaba Rebbe, Haya Rebbe Tarfa Metar, Rebbe Kiva Metame. And so now, I have something that was Tame that I toveled in the mikvah. And now, was an effective tefillah, yes or no? Machlokis Hatanayim. Rabbi Tarfon says we can go, we can focus on T1. T1, it was kasher. So we can assume now that Chazaka is going to play through all the way up to T2. And what Rabbi Akiva will tell you is that no, go in the other direction. We know at T2 it was no good. Our last check was at T1. Everything from T1 to T2, we're assuming the mikvah was no good. Okay. It's really just such a classic debate. I'm Rabbi Tofa Mikvah Zeh Becheska Shalom Huamed Umisafek Atabal Chasra Ate Chasra Nmisafek. So Rabbi Tarfon says T1. Okay, I know I'm not giving an accurate translation, but it's a good way to look at it. Rabbi Tarfon says T1, it was good. I'm Rabbi Akiva Adam Zeh Becheska Tamid Huamed Misafek Atabal Atara Ate Taro Nmisafek. And Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand. The person going into this mikvah, we know he was Tameh. And the mikvah is questionable. So now, how can you tell me that we know for sure that the mikvah was good? I would tell you just the opposite. The person that went in there was definitely tamei. So I'm a Rabbi Tarfon Mashal la'omin amakrav agabe mizbeach and no deshu ben grusha ben chalutza avodaso ksheira. So Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, let me give you a dimyon. Let me give you a mashal. So I have a kohen who's doing the avoda, and then. Right, he's been doing it for years, and then a discovery. Mom was a grusha. Mom was the chalutza. So now all the avoda that he does retroactively is going to be kasher. So over here, I'll say the same thing by the mikvah. Retroactively, it's fine. Am Rabbi Kiva mashal la'omeid u'makriv agabi mizbech nodeshu ba'mum sh'avodas ha'psulam. Rabbi Kiva says, you know what? I'm going to work with your mashal. Let's stay with your mashal, but don't make him a ben grusha ben chalutza. Make him a ba'mum. In other words, after years of doing the avoda, we discovered that the kohen, so he's left-handed. I'm just giving but one example. Okay, there are many different physical disqualifications that will disqualify a kohen from doing the avoda.
That's the best example because it's not noticeable.
Right, you're right. You like that example. Thank you. Otherwise, so he's a balmum. So and now Rabbi Kiva says, "Tell me, he was a balmum. So what are we going to do with all the avoda that he did previously? Retroactively, it's all puzzle. So I'm Rabbi Tofanata Dimaso lebalmum ani dimisi ben grusha ben chalutza. So nira lemi dame." So, e dama la ben grusha la ben chalutza ni donenika ben grusha ben chalutza vi no dama la bamum ni donenika bamum. So, Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Akiva, look, my analogy compared to ben grusha ben chalutza, your analogy compared to ben mum to bamum, which one's the better analogy? So, his Rabbi Akiva la don. So, Rabbi Akiva says, well, let me start. I'll start. Mikve psulo biyachid ubamum psulo biyachid. So, va'al yochich ben grusha ben chalutza shipsulo b'shnayim. So over here, how many people need to tell me that the mikvah is no good? Meaning, when I have one person measuring, is that sufficient? You bet it is. When I have one person tell me that he's a bal mum, is that sufficient? You bet it is. In other words, because all we're doing is testifying to a physical reality. To tell me that a Cohen's mother is a grusha. So that now is a status change. Status change, you need two for that. Davar acher. And Rabbi Kiva says, and by the way, while I'm on a roll, so don't stop me now. I'm on a roll. Davar acher. Mikveh psula begufa balmum psula begufa val yochich ben grusha ben chalutza shepsula ma'acherim. The psul of a balmum, that is a physical blemish. It's a psul beguf. The mikvah being depleted, not having 40 saw. That's a physical defectivity. Right, it's a psul in the mikvah itself. The fact that the Kohen's a ben grusha ben chalutza, totally external to him, has nothing to do with him. Now, obviously, he's the product of the ben grusha ben chalutza, but it's not in the Kohen himself. It's not a physical deformity in the Kohen. It's external. Amar le Rabbi Tarfon Akiva kol porsh mincha kaporsh min achayim. So Rabbi Tarfon basically says to Rabbi Akiva, you know what? You won. You beat me. The debate's over. Your position is a much better position. Your analogy is much better than my analogy. Okay, the greatness of these Tanaim, by the way, I don't want this moment to go and just not notice and not recognize the greatness of these Tanaim is that they argue the debate and they concede. They concede. So hi Balmum Shepsula Biyachid Echidami. So the Balmum is going to be Pasul Biyachid with one. Right, that was one of Rabbi Kiva's arguments, and so now the Gemara says, let's think about it. Let's analyze. So biyachid echidami idik hamachish leib. So mi mehemen el deshasik. So over here, the accusation to the kohen, you're a balmum. So if he says no, I'm not. And by the way, this is physical, so you could just simply prove it. So fine. But in other words, you're a balmum, and he's silent. Then we're going to believe the one aid. Now. So the kavaseg abe ben grusha ben chalutza. So now what we have to do is we have to say, because we're striking an analogy. So the same thing is going to be true regarding ben grusha ben chalutza. And the ketani mikva psul biyachid abamum psul biyachid vayachich ben grusha ben chalutza shepsulo bishnayim. Ben grusha ben chalutza cannot be done by one. Meaning, and in a comparable case, it's a comp, in a comparable case. Where if you had one person say your mother was a chalutza, your mother was a grusha, and he's quiet, that would do nothing. That wouldn't change any status whatsoever. So over here, what's the comparable case? That is a comparable case. And we don't believe the one by ben grusha ben chalutza. Whoa. Okay, even they recognized it was too loud. Okay, so the, the abaye, let's just finish this one thread. And so Abai will tell you no. In that case over there, in the debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, there was hachasha, right? In other words, he did counter. and over here. So why would we believe one over him if he's countering? Because over here, if we're talking about a physical blemish, so then in other words, so, oh, really, you're countering? Show me. Show me. Yeah, okay. So in other words, over there, that's why in that case over there, Hachasha doesn't do anything. But Abaye would tell you that had it been Shtika, he would have been believed, not only in the case of Mum, but even in the case of Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. Okay, we are right now in the heat of a big discussion of the Gemara. And that is that if I have one aid, and the accusation is that your wife was Mizana, as one of the examples, so do we believe the one aid when you do not respond and you're quiet? So is that going to bolster that one aid? Abaye says yes, Rava says no, and in the middle of, that's the whole topic of today's daf, in the middle of a major discussion, almost the end of it. In terms of the